At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new podcast. Yes, Knowing Wheel returns. Of course, we're into the winter break, but that doesn't mean the content is going anywhere anytime soon. And of course, now we're in the winter break, we can start to look back to, you know, this podcast is called Knowing Wheel. So we thought there'd be nothing better to do today than to react to our championship predictions that we set all the way back on a podcast dated. This was podcast number 46 from the 15th of March, 2022. And of course, as always, I'm joined by Jamie183. How are we doing, mate?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to this because most of the year my predictions went okay. So hopefully that has carried over to the beginning of the year, in which when we made these predictions, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think it is going to be quite an interesting one today. Now, we're going to, obviously, there's quite a lot to go through, so we probably are going to go through quite a lot of them fairly quickly. We're kind of trying to combine two things at once here. We're both obviously looking at where we predicted drivers and teams to be and where they actually ended up finishing. And then we're also looking at how well they actually did in 2022, all things sort of given. So we'll start at the bottom then, Jamie. We'll go with, obviously, we only predicted the 20 full-time drivers. And in last place, of course, was Nicholas Latifi. Won't be staying with Williams in 2023. And let's be fair, I think it's a pretty simple one to discuss, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty, very below average season for an F1 driver. I think he did take a long time to recover from the end of 2021, because we saw he was kind of making steps towards Russell in the second half of 2 years ago.
Russell
but then this
had
year,
checked out, to be fair. But
yeah,
yes.
Russell had checked out, but it's not good for Nicky this season. No. The one slightly shining light was that performance in Japan, but that came far too late for it to mean anything.
Silverstone
long been
quali.
Replaced. Silverstone quali was all right as well. That was really weird. Williams only Q3 of the season, I believe. Or maybe De Vries got Q3.
I believe De Vries was bumped up inside the top 10, but I don't believe he qualified there.
So, apparently, the one good thing this season was kind of that Silverstone qualifying and the Japan, ninth place in the end?
Although yes.
Quite a lot of that was down to just being last and throwing the dice, and it came off.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, for the data, right, the fascinating stat I found this season was the fact that Latifi was further off Alex Albon on average in qualifying than he was on George Russell the year before.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely mad when you think about it. So, yeah, I mean, bless him, Nicholas Latifi, of course, like we said, you know, we've got a bit of sympathy for him, obviously, of course, with what happened in Abu Dhabi last year, you know. Any sort of online hate like that, we're both strongly against, especially, you know, when these drivers are trying to push to the limit. But let's be fair, he's not Formula One caliber. He never was.
He got his chance. He wasn't horrendous, but he was pretty bad.
He certainly didn't really deserve to hang around. I mean, he's finished P20 this championship, and we would both say he probably was the worst driver this year, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
It's not too.
And coming
difficult.
On to the predictions, then.
Yes.
We're going to be keeping score, by the way. So you get a point for how far out you are, so you want the lowest score possible, basically.
We're playing golf tonight, exactly.
Yes.
So, Jamie183, do you know where you place Nicholas Latifi in F1 22 predictions?
I think I do. I think it was last.
You were absolutely bang on.
Good.
And
I know you were massive on Williams.
I
so
hyped
probably wasn't
up Williams
last.
Big style. I put in P16, which is quite painful to look back at. You know, I could have been laughing my ass to the bank after this, but yeah, Latifi, I put P16, and that has come back to haunt me by the end of the year.
Yeah, so a solid plus four already.
Plus four for me, yes, after just one driver there. I mean, let's move on, though, to his teammate then, Alex Albon.
Hang on, then.
Oh,
we got
sorry.
A little quiz to intersperse early on this week.
Here we go. We've got the quiz
because,
coming in.
As we know, Nicholas Latifi is getting replaced by who?
Logan Sargeant.
Indeed, an American Formula One driver.
Yes.
The last time an American raced in Formula One
was Scott Speed.
Was? No.
Oh, no, of course, it was not Roberto Meri.
replace Roberto Meri.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Not Valentino Rossi, Alexander Rossi.
Alex Rossi, indeed, at the 2015 US Brazilian Grand Prix.
Well, that was the last race he did, yeah.
Brazil was the last race he did.
Yeah.
So, in true one of my quizzes fashion, you've got to name the top 10 from that race.
What?
The last time an American raced in Formula One.
What? The top 10 from the 2015 Brazilian Grand Prix?
You've got a minute now.
Have I just got to get them in any order, or?
Yeah, you can say it in any order.
Rosberg.
Yes.
Hamilton.
Yeah.
Vettel.
Yeah.
Ricciardo. Raikkonen.
No. Yes.
Kvyat.
Yeah.
Carlos Sainz. Max Verstappen.
No. Yeah. You got four more. 13 to 8 seconds.
38 seconds. I'm trying to think. 2015. Well. Jenson Button. No. No. McLaren Reg. Oh, who else? Roman Grosjean. Pastor Maldonado.
Yep. Yep. Two more.
Trying to think. Bottas and Massa.
Bottas, yep.
Massa, no. Not. One more.
One more, and you got
Sergio Perez.
No.
Nico Hülkenberg.
Yes, there you go.
There we go.
Smashed it.
I'll
take 11
that.
Seconds to spare.
11 seconds. That's a bonus 11 points then, so I got 21 out of
10. Oh, yeah. I think you still wouldn't beat me, but there we go.
Oh, no, I'm taking it. 21 bonus points to add to, well, to take away from our predictions. You know, fair. A fair play. I'll give you credit, Jamie. It was a fun little quiz for the winter break.
Yeah. They're going to get worse and worse.
They are going to descend into anarchy over the winter, aren't they? Let's move up, though, to P19, of course, overall in the 2022 Drivers' Championship. And it was Nicholas Latifi's teammate, young Alex Albon. Only scored 4 points this year, but comfortably.
Unlucky to not do more.
Exactly, and comfortably pocketed Latifi, didn't he, all year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the thing with Albon was that he would just take that car to, like, 12th, 13th
yes.
on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Ahead of the likes of a Haas or an AlphaTauri or an Alfa Romeo, like, very consistently.
Yeah, he was constantly putting that. The amount of times as well, I feel like, this season that Albon was running in the points with 10 laps to go, where he'd gone on, like, a brave one-stop and then he'd just get jumped by two stoppers really late on in the day. I feel like I saw that happen at least sort of 6 or 7 times. But I mean, yeah, Albon, of course, you know, came back after his fourth sabbatical. He's done really well this year. You know, very, very good driver. You know, I think he's going to be really important for Williams over the next couple of seasons. Of course, finished P19 in real life. Jamie, do you know where you ranked him for 2022?
Hopefully around that sort of area.
You were spot on once again. You had no faith in Williams this year. I put him 50th, so that's another minus plus 4 points for me. So not boding well too early on in the year.
No.
Next up, though, China's finest, and fair play, we've got to give him some credit here, Zhou Guanyu. He ran a much better campaign than at least I was expecting, but this might actually be the first one I was a bit closer to you with predicting.
Fair. I was hyping Zhou hugely
in
pre-season.
You were all aboard the Zhou Guanyu hype train.
Which I'm very happy about, because he has done really well, and he's earned a lot of respect of a lot of people who were writing him off from the very beginning.
Yep, myself included. I will hold my hands up and admit, he did a lot better in 2022 than I was ever expecting.
Yeah. Very unlucky to not score more, I think. Like, in fact, he only got 4 points.
Six.
When he was it 6 points?
Six points.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was four in Canada, wasn't it? And then a couple of 1 points elsewhere. But yeah, unlucky to not score more. He was running on for a sixth place in Baku, on for points in Silverstone, on for points in Miami.
Bit early to call it Silverstone. But I like
the
optimism.
20 metres were good. yeah, I think he's done really well. I think very deserves a second season. I think that's what people were all saying at the start of the year. Oh, he's a placeholder for Porsche.
Yeah.
But maybe that's still the case, Alfa Romeo at least. But I think he's earned the plaudits of a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think this is the thing, isn't it? Because, I mean, let's still not hide away from the fact, of course, that he's been able to get into F1 because he's got a lot of backing from China. But he has also proven himself this year, you know, that, say, for example, a Williams or a Haas need a driver now that can deliver, you know, maybe if he is still a placeholder, exactly, if he is still a placeholder for Porsche and he gets brought into Alfa Romeo, you know, it doesn't now seem impossible that Zhou Guanyu, if he had to, could find a seat elsewhere either. I feel like he's done enough this year. And to be honest, as a first-year driver in Formula One, where a lot of the speculation is about just how much money you're going to bring in, he's delivered more than I think most were predicting.
Yeah, he was well level with Bottas as the season went on. It's just a shame that by the time he got as good as Bottas, the car was no longer as good as it once was.
Yeah.
So the chance of points, like the points gap, is way bigger than it should be.
Exactly, exactly. And I think most people do realise that as well, of course, whilst he was still trying to settle in. Do you know where you predicted Zhou Guanyu for 2022?
Probably far too high, considering where he's actually finished.
You put him... Go on, Jamie, have a guess.
Like 15th-ish?
13th.
30, okay.
So you've
that's
lost
a
handful of points there. I was actually closer on this one, but the thing was, for me, at the start of the year, I was not expecting Alfa Romeo to adjust to the new regulations very well, so I might have put him last.
And you were trying to wind me up.
No, I just massively underestimated the hard work and the sheer skill and determination that every single member of that Alfa Romeo team has.
Yeah, yeah. Looking at the hat.
Yep, look at my hat. Respect. Let's.
Yeah, so you actually better than me there.
I did do better than you. So yeah. I know Zhou Guanyu better than you.
I got plus five. That's poor.
You know what? Let's head over though. Another driver that had an interesting year. Little Yuki Tsunoda, bless him. 12 points to his name in what has been a very, very disappointing year for AlphaTauri, but has delivered a lot better compared to Pierre Gasly.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing to remember, because the points tally looks really small for Yuki, if you pardon the pun. But yeah, he has been a lot closer to Gasly, especially in qualifying, which was a big thing. The amount of times in 21 that Tsunoda was out in Q1 and Gasly was in Q3, like P5 or something, was outrageous. So yeah, Tsunoda's done okay. I think the car was a really limiting factor for both drivers this year. But he's done all right. He's definitely had a step up, but he needs to kick on now, I think, especially with a new teammate. It'll be kind of interesting to see how he does against De Vries next year.
Exactly, and I think this was the big thing, wasn't it? Because Tsunoda this year, he's kind of been that driver that proves that you have to put the work in elsewhere around the sport as well if you really want to succeed. And I think it's been a really big year, because let's be fair, we both kind of felt, didn't we, that although Tsunoda did deliver on occasion last year, he might have just been chucked into Formula One a year too early. Now it does feel like, rather than last year where he was kind of just struggling for air, it feels like this year he's really learned to sort of tread water.
Yeah, it's not been a year that's like
blown us away.
His stock really high, but he's been very solid.
Exactly,
very
he's done the job, and it feels like at the moment he's still justified to be in that AlphaTauri car, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Talking, of course, of someone though. We've got to do. Where we predicted them to be, haven't we? Sorry, I'm jumping.
I know I was. We were both really big on AlphaTauri
for some reason. AlphaTauri going into the year.
So probably too high for both of us, I'm assuming.
So he finished P17. You predicted 12th. So that's another minus 5 for you, Jamie.
Yeah.
I predicted 14th. So not too bad for me. Only a handful of points thrown away with that one. But yeah, we were both big on AlphaTauri this year, and it did not work out well. Let's jump up though to young Mick Schumacher, of course, in his Haas car, won't be around for 2023. Tough, isn't it? Because when you look at it, he's only 2 points further away from his teammate than Tsunoda was, but it can't help but feel like the story is very, very different.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I've seen a lot of people, obviously I'm a Hulk fan, Hulkenberg's going to replace him next year, and I've seen a lot of people saying, like, why are you replacing a driver with higher potential with a complete known quantity who's maybe not got that high ceiling that Schumacher maybe does? But ultimately, the position Haas are in, they've seen having two rookies to having two experienced drivers from the comparison between Grosjean and Magnussen to Mazepin and Schumacher. It's been a while since that his name appeared on the podcast. But yeah, I think the dependability they need and the solid consistency, especially in the midfield, is so valuable.
Yeah.
It's harsh on Schumacher, but he has had a very good shot and not blown anyone away.
And I think the other real question still remains, isn't it, about the internal politics going on at Haas.
Yeah.
It feels like there's more at play here than just Schumacher hasn't delivered enough. But, I mean, Haas next year are going to go into the year with one of the most experienced driver lineups on the grid when you think about combined races. So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how K-Mag and Mick get on next year. Do you know where you predicted... Sorry, what were you going to say?
You said
K-Mag and Hulk, sorry, not Mick. Yeah. So you predicted Mick Schumacher. Jimmy, you got this one bang on as well with P16.
Oh, nice.
I went P19. I was, again, not hyping up Haas, so I lose.
Off the back of 2021, I'm quite happy with that.
That's not bad going. You did pretty well there, mate. Let's jump up, though, to another driver that it really feels like we didn't speak about much at all this year, unless he was forcing Fernando Alonso over the top of him. That's Lance Stroll. Where's he been this year, Lance Stroll?
Yeah.
We just haven't mentioned
it. It's kind of been a classic Stroll year, hasn't it? He's been okay, not outrageously bad, not that good, other than a few flashes. And he's just sort of ended up in 15th. It feels like the same old story with...
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Yeah, it's so bizarre,
like,
isn't it?
It's kind of like... He's one of those drivers where he's not... Like, he definitely is good enough to be here, but is he ever going to do much more than what he's doing right now?
Yeah, he's kind of good enough to scrape it in each year, but it does make you wonder whether he's going to be... I mean, Alonso next year is just going to absolutely destroy him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see what happens.
He scored points on what's that? 7... 8 times he scored points.
And I think it's kind of forgotten about.
6 of them were 10th place.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of forgotten about, isn't it? Just how well Aston Martin seemed to push on towards the end of the year when most teams kind of stagnated. Aston Martin really did make quite a lot of progress late on in the campaign. So you predicted, obviously, Lance Stroll finished the year P15. You originally went 17th, so you lose out 2 points.
Okay.
I went 12th, so I lose out 3. I was expecting Aston Martin to be a bit stronger this year than what ended up being the case. We've already just mentioned him, though. Pierre Gasly, of course, going to Alpine next year. P14, he still was the number one in that AlphaTauri team. It looked a little bit shaky at the start of the year, didn't it? You know, Yuki Tsunoda really was delivering. But Pierre's finally got himself out of the Red Bull family. Probably for the better, but we'll wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I think his stock has definitely dropped compared to the end of 21, where he was absolutely smashing it. But that's partly due to the car not being there this year. And also just, I feel like once he got that Alpine move, he kind of checked out a bit.
You look
at the end of the season, it wasn't great. But I think given the car, he's done all right to finish 14th and outshine Tsunoda mostly. He's definitely not hit the highs of 21. Mm-hmm. And I really hope he kicks on at Alpine. It'll be close. I think that's a really tough one to call between him and Ocon next year.
Yeah, that will definitely be exciting next year down there. Do you know where you predicted Pierre Gasly to finish this season, Jamie?
Probably far too high, knowing what I've said about AlphaTauri.
So we both, I think this was the one of two drivers across the entire grid that we both predicted exactly the same. We both went 9th for Pierre Gasly.
Okay.
So we both lose 5 points there. So not horrendous, but not brilliant either. I guess we'll just take that as it is. Next up then, the Dane himself, pole man, Kevin Magnussen. Again, came back to the sport when none of us were expecting it. Delivered some fantastic races for Haas early on. Comfortably beat out Mick Schumacher for most of the year, but did kind of go quite quiet as well, didn't he, when Haas kind of fell off.
Yeah. I think they got exactly what they expected with Magnussen. I think I listened to a Günther Steiner podcast that was released last week, and it was kind of like, you want that dependability, but also those ridiculous highs that he just pulls out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Such as the P5 on his first race back and the pole position, obviously. Yeah. I think it's a very solid season on his return. His,
second return.
Sabbatical.
Yeah.
Is it his third?
Third return.
Yeah. So he made his debut then a year out. Yeah. Okay. I think he certainly reminded everyone what he's here for. I think he's kind of had less pressure on himself.
He's kind of just been able to come in and enjoy it, hasn't he? Because it wasn't like he got announced last. It's almost like Hülkenberg now, of course, has kind of got the whole winter to panic if he doesn't deliver. Yeah. Kevin Magnussen never got that chance.
Yeah. And he's done well to beat Schumacher, I think,
He kind of had to, didn't he? But he's done it in a comfortable fashion for a lot of
years. I'll be very interested to see how that driver duo goes next year.
Yes.
But obviously, I'll be backing Hulk to beat him. So.
It will be interesting. So I mentioned just a moment ago that we both predicted Pierre Gasly and one other driver in the same positions. Kevin Magnussen was the other one that we both predicted in the same. We both meant P18. So we've both lost another 5 points there. So we're losing quite a lot of points, Jamie, at the moment, which is not great. Yeah. But, you know,
we're not doing very well. The title's in question.
Exactly, yeah. Knowing Wheel, we're going to have to change it next year to kind of know a tiny bit about Wheel. P12, though. Sebastian Vettel, of course, final ever Formula One season. Yeah, what do we say about Seb? It's had its highs, it's had its lows, but I don't think he's certainly lost any grace, has he, on his final F1 year?
I think he's earned himself a lot of favours compared to, like, this little stint at Aston Martin. Say if he'd left at the end of his Ferrari stint, it would have been a bit of a sour note to end, but I think he's done himself proud, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And especially ever since the retirement announcement, he's been kind of let loose of it.
Yeah,
and
he's kind of...
seems more relaxed.
It seems like he's not too worried anymore, which is great. We got some vintage Seb, didn't we, on occasion, which was quite nice as well. I mean, he's led Aston Martin, you know, he's comfortably... Obviously, we kind of were a bit worried, weren't we, at the start of the year. I remember Australia, where he came back, crashed, what was it, 3 times that weekend, and just had a bit of a disaster. We were kind of like, Seb, maybe you should have just stayed with COVID, mate, and
giving
it Hulk quits
for the season, yeah.
But, you know, he came back, he kicked on strong throughout a lot of the year, tied on points, of course, with Daniel Ricciardo as well, in a much, much superior car. But I felt like, you know, maybe there was a little bit of Seb steering Aston Martin in the right direction as well. Almost, of course, were able to jump Alfa Romeo at the end of the Constructors' Championship. But a decent final season from Sebastian Vettel. I think one that he can walk away with, not over the moon, but proud of himself at the end of the
definitely.
Day. So, of course, finished P12 in real life. I was only one place out. I said P11. Jamie was not a fan of the Sebastian this year. P15. You predicted.
Did I put him above Stroll?
You did put him above Stroll.
Okay, good.
But not by much. Not by much.
Good. So that's poor. Poor from me.
Poor from Mr. 183. Next up then, Daniel Ricciardo, of course, came into this year, absolutely had to prove himself, and just hasn't, has he really? Let's be honest.
Yeah, I think the Daniel of 21, it was kind of like, everything's bad. But when he gets it together, he was all right. Like, the Russian Grand Prix was pretty good. Obviously, the win in Monza in 21.
Yeah.
Like, when it came together, it really did come together. This year, it just never came together.
No.
And it's a real shame to see him kind of floundering like that. But, yeah, it's a good time for him to take a sabbatical.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, whether we'll see Daniel Ricciardo back in Formula 1. I mean, I think one of the good things still, and I know a couple of people from McLaren have said this as well, you know, despite how bad this year's gone, you know, he's remained positive. You know, he hasn't turned sour over any of this. You know, he's still been prime Daniel Ricciardo off the circuit, and there's a lot of respect to be had there when you're having an absolute
nightmare. He's conducted
himself
in a really good manner.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, he's left McLaren on good terms, which I think is important as well. Finished P11 overall, which, to be honest, probably sugarcoats it a little bit when you think he was only actually four places behind Lando Norris, but almost 100 points back behind his teammate. Of course, Mexico. He had a good race at Mexico. Let's not forget that. It wasn't really one of those...
Only after he took out Tsunoda.
Well, yeah, apart from murdering Tsunoda, but it is what it is. You predicted Ricciardo P8 at the end of the year. I predicted Ricciardo P7. So a handful of points lost there by the pair of us, but I think we were both
the rest.
No, I didn't. I had McLaren up in with the front runners because they should be a front running team. But there we are. We'll discuss that a bit more later on. Into the top 10 we go though. Valtteri Bottas, of course, left Mercedes or got dropped by Mercedes at the end of 2021. Went off to Alfa Romeo. And you know what? We give Bottas some stick because against Hamilton, he couldn't quite match Lewis. But what we do often forget, and I think a lot of people don't give it credit for, is Bottas is still actually a very, very good driver. And, you know, Jamie said Zhou Guanyu was on par with him for a lot of the year. I feel like Bottas still had Zhou, you know, comfortably at arm's length through most of the season. But they worked well together. And I think, you know, they are a driver lineup for the future.
Yeah, I think Bottas has kind of found his happy place
in
that midfield team. obviously he had the option of a few, but I think he's done really well to kind of pick a team he can lead really well. He definitely hit the ground running. Like, the first half of the year was way stronger than the second half, but that was also to do with the car. I think he's done himself a lot of justice this year, because people were like, why is he sticking around? He's obviously never going to amount to anything. But ultimately, like,
Bottas,
he's there
fast
to enjoy himself.
Bottas
yeah,
is fast.
He's really
still
fast as well. He can't back two tenths off Lewis. Yeah, he does need to toughen up. I think that's been a really obvious thing this year.
Well, every year, isn't it, sadly, with Bottas? Yeah, it's just the one thing that is like his big problem still in Formula One. So, P10 for Valtteri Bottas this year. Jamie, hats off to you. You got that bang on.
Oh, let's go.
I went P17, so we'll, the less about that, the better.
Oof.
I think.
Oh, yeah, you went harsh now.
Alfa Romeo, fair play to them. They have delivered a lot more than we were expecting this season. Let's jump up, though, to Alpine's number two driver, Fernando Alonso.
Here come the comments.
Yeah, gotta get him in. what can we say? I mean, it's an Alonso year, so it's full of controversy, isn't it, as always?
It's probably the best single season I've ever seen anyone do.
Or
so he would say about himself.
Oh, right, okay, sorry. I think you meant you. I was going to say, what?
No. Well, he's lost an insane amount of points through reliability.
He probably should have sent... Like, again, there's how many points Alonso believes he should have lost and how many points he sensibly should have lost. Sensibly,
well, Saudi,
he should have been around Norris in the championship.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just insane if you look at the retirements. Yeah, Saudi was reliability, Australia was reliability in qualifying that he kind of gave up. Imola was crash damage, which wasn't his fault. Italy was reliability, Singapore was reliability as well, Mexico reliability from the points, and Abu Dhabi reliability. which is just madness.
Not ideal for Fernando again, but off to Aston Martin next year. That is going to be hilarious. It's kind of a shame, isn't it? Because Renault, Alpine were kind of the one team that Alonso was still on good terms with in Formula One, and that's kind of now gone up in smoke.
Vintage Alonso, just screwing them over.
Exactly. It's just what he does.
But it's quite funny.
It's just what he does. So Alonso finished P9 overall this year, Jamie. You predicted him P11.
Ooh,
and me, the Alonso hater that you give me so much stick for, predicted him P10.
Wow. I must have been down on Alpine then. Have him in the comments, by the way. You heard his comment a minute ago.
He finished behind his teammate. Esteban Ocon is clearly the number one driver in that team. Speaking of which,
like George Russell.
Exactly. Speaking of which, though, Esteban Ocon, a solid year. I mean, there's not really a lot as you can say, apart from got a bit lucky to beat Alonso. But you know, he molded that team to make sure he was the teacher's pet, and he walks away in P8 overall.
Yeah. And he's very unlikable. I don't like Ocon very much.
It's because you're a Gasly fan, but yeah.
Exactly. And I sympathise with Alonso. So. I think Ocon has certainly had a very, very solid year. Generally. Like, he's always been close to Alonso, other than maybe one or two races. Basically what you want in a midfield driver. I don't think he's quite the level of the top drivers, but if he went into a top team, I think he'd do no worse than the likes of Sainz or Perez. He's one of those sort of level drivers, which is nothing to turn your nose up at. Very, very good from Ocon this year.
A very good season, isn't it? You can't describe it as brilliant, but good is certainly the way to go, isn't it? In terms of Ocon, though, of course, P8 over on the championship, I went 13th place, you went 14th. So neither of us were really expecting Alpine to deliver this year.
Yeah, we were down. I mean, they only finished, what, 5th? Wait, no, it was just 5th, wasn't it, ahead of AlphaTauri in 21?
Yeah.
So, that's weird that we chose to bin them off.
I think we were just kind of expecting them not to jump to the new regs very well. But, you know, we live and learn, next up then, future world champion in the making, P7, Lando Norris. Again, another wildly underappreciated year, I feel.
Yeah, I think this is his best year in Formula One yet.
It probably is.
It's obviously not got the highs of what he had in 21, but he's just been unbelievably consistent. The only driver outside the big three teams to get a podium as well, which is very impressive. And the fact that he's what, 30 points ahead of Ocon and 41 ahead of Alonso in a car that was generally slower than the Alpine is insane.
Yeah. He just, Lando Norris just gets the job done, doesn't he?
And he's definitely a superstar in the making.
It's mad when you... I don't think he's a superstar in the making. I think he is already a superstar, isn't he? Yeah. And it's mad when you think to where McLaren were in Bahrain, wasn't it? Because, I mean, I remember us after that Grand Prix thinking, McLaren are screwed for like the next 5 years now. Yeah. Because they were...
They're like the third slowest team.
That weekend. But they turned it around. Lando Norris led that team again. You know, there were a lot of questions about whether Ricciardo would come back strong this year. Lando didn't really give him a chance at all.
No.
As once again, you know, he hasn't been a fan of this car this year. He's been very vocal about that. But he has dragged it around, kicking and screaming. Best of the rest, comfortably. And yeah, future world champion. Absolutely 100%. Seventh overall this year. Jamie, again, you got that one bang on. I went P6 because I was expecting McLaren to be a front-running team. And I feel like that does need to briefly be discussed, doesn't it? You know, maybe when we get back to the teams in a minute for our predictions overall, McLaren are desperately still not quite where they should be. And I feel like they get away with it a lot more than they should be entitled to.
Mm.
Let's jump in then. P6 overall, of course, Lewis Hamilton, our second Brit in a row. What a weird year. What a weird season, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's on paper one of his worst, is it not?
I think it is his worst ever year in terms of that.
Yeah, in terms of championship position.
No
which
wins,
is kind of mad.
Championship position, lack of poles.
No poles, no wins.
It's been a different year for Hamilton, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think he's certainly still got it. I think you look at look at the races, certainly, and you can tell where the problems were. I mean, the first 8 races or so, Mercedes had an absolute dog of a car,
and
which
Hamilton
didn't help at all.
Just sacrificed himself so they could try and learn about it.
And Russell kept getting insanely lucky to finish top 5 every week. I think Lewis has overall been better than Russell over the course of the season. They've been very closely matched, but I think Lewis has had a stronger season.
Lewis, most of the second half of the campaign was, I think he out-qualified Russell in every single race apart from Brazil in the second half of the year. There might have been one other where he didn't. And I think, you know, like we said, from Baku onwards, Hamilton, you know, once Mercedes had kind of got a few things sorted with that car, you know, had he not sacrificed quite a few races early on in the year, it does make you wonder, you know, like Saudi Arabia, for example, and things like that, and Imola, you know, could
Mercedes...
There were
a few poor races.
There were a few poor races there early on where they were trying things with the setup. You know, had they just tried to go with the George Russell setup, could they have still beaten out Ferrari overall? It could have been very close.
Well, they weren't far away, were they?
No, it could have been very, very close come the end of the year there. But, sixth place overall, Jamie. You predicted Hamilton fourth.
I feel like I know where you feel.
I might have put a Hamilton World Championship on the board.
Which is not that insane. It sounds bad now, but it really wasn't that ludicrous at the start of the year.
No. You know what? I will back my guy and say there's still another world championship in him.
I'll have to wait and see. Less sure as you.
I'm not sure, but I still believe there's a world championship in him. It's whether there's a world championship in Mercedes. That's still the question that remains.
Yeah.
We talked then from a driver that seemed to be testing out different things with a struggling car to a driver that seemed to be testing out crash barriers in a good car. Carlos Sainz.
That's harsh. That's very harsh on Sainz.
I think we came, of course, he beat out Charles Leclerc last year, you know, outfinished him. You know, we thought, is this going to be a new Carlos Sainz? And this year, bless him, he hasn't quite kicked on in the way I think he desperately needed to. Charles Leclerc has had him wrapped up.
He's ticked off a few key things.
He's got his first win.
First win, first poles. He's had 3 this year.
Yeah.
But ultimately,
too many mistakes.
He's kind of proven that he's not on the level of Leclerc or Verstappen or Hamilton or arguably Russell Norris as well.
Yeah.
I think he's basically what Ferrari almost hoped he would be in a quite dependable second driver who isn't quite at the level of Leclerc, which almost for Ferrari is perfect. Obviously, for him, he'd want to be doing better to be closer to his teammate, but it's been a good year, but not brilliant in what was probably the second fastest car to finish 5th.
Yeah, he should have still been. When you think about the mistakes and issues that Leclerc and Perez have had this year, he probably should have been battling them. You know, the fact that had Hamilton not had his gearbox failure in Abu Dhabi, Sainz would have finished 6th overall behind 2 drivers that were in a slower car is not a promising sign. you know, was unlucky on occasion as well. But feel like Sainz this year struggled more than should have been expected. For a driver that we all praised last year, we hyped him up the fact he was the only driver that went to a different team and didn't struggle in 2021. Mm. He just kind of struggled this year, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I think the car wasn't fully to his liking as well, which didn't help.
No, exactly.
Ultimately, he's got to be...
You're a Formula One driver. You paid millions of quid. You adapt to a car at the end of the day. That's what Formula One drivers are paid for.
The same person who said a minute ago that Hamilton was trying out different setups.
Yeah, for the team, to get them data. Don't you try to twist my words on me, Jamie.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. Well, Sainz, yeah, P5 though, overall at the end of the year. I got that one bang on. Jamie, you predicted a Sainz going gala in P3.
Did I really?
You predicted Sainz P3, yeah.
I did put about 15 Ferrari wins.
You did put, you put like 40 wins over the course of the year,
Yeah,
an up and down year from Carlos Sainz. Speaking of a driver, though, that had a very, very good year, it's George Russell. Came into Mercedes. You know, there were a few still question marks left to be answered, and has absolutely delivered most of the year, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he is pretty much exactly what Mercedes want in him.
He's their future.
And yeah, yeah. I think he needs to eliminate a few little errors here and there, but that's the same with any young driver has that in them occasionally. But yeah, overall, really, really solid season. He was maybe, like, he was obviously very close to Hamilton. I think Hamilton slightly had the edge in general driving ability, but that's to be expected when you're up against one of the greatest of all time. So yeah, fair play George. P4 was very good, very good solid season. And I think, yeah, if Mercedes get their act together within the next 10 years, Russell will definitely pick up a few championships, you'd imagine.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we know full well, isn't it, you know, if Lando Norris can get McLaren underneath him, you know, we could see Lando, George, Max and Leclerc all on.
Well, if very Leclerc hasn't got sick of them by
then. Well, yeah. I mean, I've never said Leclerc at Ferrari, mate. We'll wait and see. No, I reckon we'll see Leclerc and George at Mercedes versus Max and Lando at Red Bull.
Oh, that would be
insane. Would be madness. Absolute madness. But yeah, George Russell, though, you predicted P4. You predicted him in P6. I predicted him P3. Okay. So not far off there. Not far off
from us there.
Exactly. Jumping up though to P3 then over on the championship. And again, another driver that had a bit of a weird year, wasn't it? Sergio Perez, you know, had a few stunning drives. Of course, Monaco Grand Prix winner now. Was really strong towards the start of the year, but then he did just kind of get Red Bull, didn't he? As they made the car suit Max more and more, Perez just kind of struggled more and more.
Yeah, and that was kind of to be expected. Like, they're obviously going to back their man and make the car to his liking, and fair play, it worked out to a very good extent with Max. But Perez was kind of the victim of that, because yeah, up until, well, like Baku, he won. No, he didn't win Baku.
He didn't win
but
Baku.
He was second. They were very close, him and Max, in the championship.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, second half of the season, it kind of became the classic 3 to 5 tenths off Verstappen that we always kind of see.
Yeah.
With Perez. And it remains to be seen if how much longer he gets in that Red Bull, because he's obviously a very known quantity, doesn't really kick up too much fuss, other than a few flashpoints in Brazil and in Spain and Baku. But yeah, I think Red Bull are quite happy with him to be the known quantity second driver that he kind of is. But for his sake, you kind of hope that he gets a shot at a few more race wins on equal terms.
Yeah, exactly. You know, whether we're going to see that fire in the belly of Sergio Perez next year, you know, maybe he's just going to be able to rustle Max's feathers a little bit, because although it might not be Red Bull want, that's going to be the only way he can really try and sort of match Max Verstappen, is try and get inside his head psychologically a bit more. But we'll wait and see about that in 2023. Both of us were actually wildly underestimating Sergio Perez this year. You had him in P5. I had him down in P8. Over on the championship. But then again, I was not expecting Red Bull to come out as strong as they did. Next up, though, Jamie. Again, another driver that I think there's a fair amount to talk about, isn't there? Charles Leclerc. Yeah. What, he's been well and truly, finally, he's been Ferrari, hasn't he? The hope
is
gone.
It's almost predictable, really. If someone told me at the start of the year, oh yeah, Ferrari have the fastest car for the first bit of the season, Leclerc does really well, and then suddenly he gets unreliability and mistakes creeping in and he ends up well off the championship, you'd have been like,
yep,
that sounds exactly like Leclerc and Ferrari.
Yep. It just sums it up beautifully, doesn't it?
Yeah.
two wins in the first three Grand Prix and then one win in the final 20.
Yeah.
Just says it all.
Yeah.
Just says
yeah.
it all,
and
doesn't it?
I think he's done himself justice this season. People were doubting him after 21 because he did lose to Sainz in the points.
Yep.
But when he's given a top car, he does pull out performances. And we've seen that plenty of times. I think it's a shame that he couldn't get a few more wins, and his pole to win ratio has just become ridiculous.
Sickening, isn't it? It's sickening.
I don't know. Yeah, it's very unfortunate how bad it is. Really.
Yeah, he's so good over one lap, though. I think that's the thing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he's probably the best. I would say he's one of the best, like, probably the best qualifier on the grid.
He's right up there with Hamilton, definitely. Right up there.
No, Hamilton's not got it anymore.
Oh, mate, behave. Yeah,
how
I mean,
many poles this year? Less than Magnussen?
It was less than Magnussen, you're right, yeah. Charles Leclerc, I found it quite funny, of course, that we just said that. Apparently, we felt the exact same feeling at the start of the year because we both predicted him P2 in the
oh,
championship.
Wow. Okay.
Neither of us believed Ferrari would do it. So, yeah, we did both get Charles Leclerc spot on there, second overall in the championship. So, yeah, I apologise. Yeah, there were three drivers that we predicted in exactly the same places. Mm. And let's go on then, Jamie, to our final driver. 15 wins. What was it? 17 podiums? Max Verstappen had more seventh places than he did second or thirds this year, which I found quite
mad.
Funny. Just
he should have had an extra seventh if he gave the position to Perez as well.
Should have, yeah. I mean, let's be fair, he just got he just got the job done, didn't he? Really? It was
after
what happened in 2021, it was the year Max needed just to go, you know what, I can just metaphorically poo on everyone and have a world championship that none of you can call into question.
And he's been comfortably the best driver over the course of the season. Very much record-breaking. Was it 15 wins?
Yep.
There's the most, and obviously it's helped by the number of races, yep. but ultimately still an incredibly strong season. Yeah, everything he could have wanted. He's getting up there in the winning, like, oh, record win numbers as well.
Yeah,
like,
15 wins is going to help him out. Yeah, is he that high? Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me, actually. Yeah, got to be about that.
He's on what? It'd be on
he's got to be on about 30,
35?
Hasn't he?
I think he's on 35 wins.
Let's have a look.
He had 20 after 2020. One. So.
He is on...
Yeah, 35 wins.
Oh, I'm looking at a really outdated thing.
He is sixth overall.
Sixth overall on the wins list.
Yeah.
That is scary.
And the next season, he could probably... Actually, no, being third.
He'll probably be up to
it
at least.
He'd have to win 18 next season, which maybe. You never know.
I think if he gets 18 wins next year, Formula One's got a lot of issues.
But yeah, he's been insane. He's been everything we thought he would be when he came onto the scene at 17.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very good season.
Jamie, do you know where you predicted Max Verstappen for the 2022 F1 season?
I don't think I've predicted anyone first yet, so I'm assuming first.
You did predict him to be world champion.
Yes.
And
I
predicted P4.
Oh dear. Oh,
so
dear.
Not,
I feel
not
like the second half of this I've done a bit better than you.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting a bit of a change up at the front of the field. Like I said, we'll discuss that in just a moment when we go into the constructors. We'll quickly rattle through them, of course, because we've spoke about most of it already. But what are the scores then on the doors, Jamie? Lowest score wins.
Yeah.
How far out? How much wheel did we know?
So you scored a total of 62 points.
So on average, I was three places out.
Three places
That's
out.
That's not bad.
Which, I don't know. That's not terrible, I suppose. I ended up on 44 points.
Hashtag blessed.
So, hashtag blessed, indeed. So just over two out, roughly, which is pretty good. I'm quite happy with that.
I think we should be pretty proud. I think knowing wheel the name can
we
stay.
Get bang on.
I don't know. One.
I got.
Yeah, I was going to say, you definitely got more than me. I got one. I think I got two.
I think I got seven. So there we go.
What? I think I got two overall.
What did I get? Verstappen, Leclerc.
I got Leclerc and one other, I think.
I got Verstappen, Leclerc, Norris, Bottas, Schumacher, Albon, Latifi.
I don't even know which. I think I got one. I think I just got Leclerc.
Oh dear.
Did I get? No, I didn't even get Stroll or Tsunoda. No, I think I just got the one. Damn it.
Shocking.
Shocking.
Well, that's why you're the presenter and the expert.
Well, so apparently that's what you tell your friends anyway. He tells his mates on about this podcast. And
people are like, oh, you've got a
present,
podcast.
And he is the expert, allegedly.
And I'll prove myself that's factually correct.
Well, I'll prove that by being factually correct when I replace you with an actual F1 expert next year. let's quickly rattle through the teams then, Jamie. I feel like that one's going to be quite funny to go through as well. So, 2022, of course, we saw Ferrari bottle it once more. Jamie predicted Ferrari to be world champions. How do you feel about that?
Not great. I mean, it's better than you predicting Mercedes for world champions.
Yeah, but not by much. Not by much. You said Red Bull P2, so you did just get the top two the wrong way around. I got it spot on. I said Ferrari P2. Again, yeah. I believe them to be second best. You went Merc P3, so you did somehow you knew something no one else did.
I saw it coming. You got that bang on. Side pods was rubbish. I knew it from the
zero side pod concept did not work. I predicted McLaren. Like I said, I feel like McLaren, once again, have gone under the radar as a bit of a fraudulent team that should actually be fighting up at the front, but just don't deliver a car that's where it needs to be. Ferrari managed to make the jump back up. Why shouldn't McLaren?
Yeah, it is true. And I think Ferrari being at the front is more of a given, slightly more of a given than McLaren, but ultimately they're rivals historically for a reason. They always are kind of there and thereabouts. And McLaren have had, what, one season in the top three in the last 10 years?
Yeah.
And that was a season that was very bizarre anyway, that they probably shouldn't have finished third.
They finished third, yeah, with the fourth fastest car, didn't they?
Yeah.
Or fifth arguably fastest fifth. Car, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of mad.
So yeah, they really should be delivering on a more consistent basis. I think they're still... They've got the driver that they need to do it. They just need to put the car together in a way that works, exactly. Which is quality engineering analysis from me.
Exactly, exactly. Put the car the way it works. And apparently he's the expert on this show.
Yeah.
P4, though, you went McLaren, I went Red Bull.
Nice. How do you feel about
that? I was expecting Red Bull to not push on because they spent too much money on F1 2021. But there we go. You know, I learnt my lesson. You'd never go against Adrian Newey. Simple as that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Fifth place, we both went AlphaTauri. That, I mean, we just don't.
I really don't
know
why.
We both just hyped them up, didn't we? Yeah.
But like the classic, we've been saying it for years. Maybe 1 year on this podcast. But like AlphaTauri always start off a regulation cycle terribly. And then work their way back.
But I feel like we said this at the start of the year and then went, but this time it's going to be different.
I don't know what we were thinking. No. They came ninth. Exactly. We put them both fifth.
Sixth place, you got bang on, Jamie. You said Alfa Romeo.
I know. And you rinsed me.
Yeah, I did.
And so did the comments commented at the start of the year.
Let's have a look. I'm on the video. I can read down these comments quickly. Let's call some people out. here we go. Top comment. Imagine if Alfa Romeo exceed expectations and do really well this year. I had the same exact reaction to Matt when I saw Alpha in sixth.
You're not laughing now, are you?
Yep.
There we go.
Someone went knowing in it. Quotation marks wheel, which is fair enough. Has Jamie watched F1 before?
This is quality.
Yeah, we did well. We did well this year. I feel like we...
Take it back. I'm the Alpha Romeo expert.
Apparently so. I went with Alpine in P6, so I wasn't far out there. But certainly wasn't right. You said Alpine 7th. I got Aston Martin bang on. So you're knowing Alfa Romeo. I'm knowing Aston Martin.
I don't know why my Alpine was so down, but there we go.
It is what it is, isn't it? Aston Martin's, you went for 8th. I went Williams. Again, I was hyping Williams up. It didn't happen, but, you know, we move. 9th place, you went Haas. I went Alfa Romeo. And last but not least, 10th place, you got spot on again with Williams, and I went Haas. So overall then, I think I got 2 spot on here. You got 3 or 4.
Yes. Just 3.
So you know what?
Yeah.
Between us, that's our goal for next year. We've got to beat our scores. And if we do difference out,
I got 12, you got 21.
Ah. So I was 2 out on average.
2 out in a list of 10 is quite a long way.
It's not
I reckon
great.
You could have randomised it and done as well.
Probably, pretty much. Pretty much, to be honest. But you know what? I will absolutely take that at the end of the year. But yeah, of course, we'll be back once all the car reveals are done for 2023. We will definitely be doing another predictions for next season. I just quickly saw as well, actually, in the comments down below. I'm going to try and have a look at some of these predictions. Someone predicted Merc, then McLaren top two. Someone said Ferrari Red Bull, just like yourself. Someone said Hamilton World Champion, just like I thought. No mad ones though, by the looks of it.
No one got it right.
No one got it spot on.
I think I actually did better than all the comments.
I think you did better than most people, yeah.
So yeah. I have watched F1 before, to answer your question.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, we'll definitely come back stronger next year, though, won't we? Absolutely.
Hopefully.
But I mean, we've got
a lot of revising. Yeah, between now and then.
We've got a lot of fun other stuff, though, to do over the winter break nonetheless. So definitely want to keep yourself subscribed for plenty more like that. But thank you all so much for watching nonetheless. I don't think there's anything to add there, is there, Jamie? We kind of wanted to rattle through this tonight, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a football match in...
Jamie's a football manager, so we wish him best of luck. Hope he doesn't get sacked. But yeah, we will return next week, of course, with more Knowing Wheel. We haven't quite decided what we're going to be doing yet, but it's going to be another fun sort of winter break type thing. So definitely make sure you leave a like, get yourself subscribed as well, and we will return very, very soon with more Knowing Wheel.